Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the Agile Revolution at Scrum Australia.
Indeed. And Renee's here, but I'm not sure where she's joining us. How are you doing, Renee?
I'm awesome. Thank you.
She's gone now.
Bye-bye, Renee. She gets to do the next one. We're doing some box pops.
Yeah, this is our world-famous box pop that we've done twice.
So we're going to grab this bloke over here, Mr. Sandow. Come over here for a second. And you've got to empty your mouth for a second. So we're doing some box pops for the Agile Revolution. What are you thinking of the Scrum?
So Shane Sandow from Suncorp.
Shane Sandow. I was giving him some time to get his mouth empty.
Then give me a couple more seconds.
So what do you think of Scrum Oz?
Yeah, really good. Enjoying it.
Yeah, what's the highlight for you?
So, of course, we start off with Heinrich's talk there. And, I really like this idea of squads, end-to-end delivery, sort of looking at really sort of focusing on, you build it, you maintain it, all those sort of, design patterns on how you can come up with teams.
Twerk it.
Exactly, yeah.
Twerk it. So,
tweak it, yeah. Yeah, and the fact that they're delivering things that they will then... So what was he using? He was using sort of the minimal lovable part, and then it would be feature complete with the tweaks that come afterwards. So and that would be the goal to actually take something to market that wasn't necessarily feature complete, but that was actually lovable enough, minimal lovable.
So you're at Suncorp, which is obviously one of the original agile organisations. What type of things in traditional organisations do you think would stop us rolling out something like Henrik's Spotify model?
Oh, yeah, well, that's a very good question. So I think I think it's basically the momentum that you already have. So there's certain departments sort of take certain processes, and it can be quite difficult to be able to get people out of certain habits. So you need to basically redesign, look at how you can sort of redesign where you've sort of got with Agile. And I think that there's many people that are comfortable in how they're implementing Agile, but they're not really using the continuous improvement aspect to really say, okay, how can we go to the next step further? The conditions are changing, things are happening, how can we adapt to evolve? We're doing our stand-ups, we're doing our retros, we're doing our showcases, so we're agile. But no, the point is to be constantly looking at how we can handle this, supply, demand, how we can handle the different dynamics that come in with a changing market, and even if it's just internal customers, I think you can get lazy in certain parts because you don't necessarily have an external face where you need to be competing with other companies. So you can get lazy in these big companies to just sort of, well, it's all right, they're just Suncorp or they're just whatever. We'll work.
Interesting, they're a team of 1,300 person team, 600 IT. So they're growing, and they're in a market that's pretty heavily competitive right now in music. So I think whilst they started that way, I think the challenge, which they've done rather well, is continually
improving themselves. I think that's exactly the thing. Yeah. The big challenge for them is just to keep the foot on the pedal and keep reinventing.
So what's the thing that's inciting you in the Agile community at the moment, Shane? What's the things either you're looking to talk about or looking to, or just exciting you at the moment?
I was just in the scaling workshop. So for me, it's really looking at the different design patterns for, we had a few from Heinrich's talk about how to scale it. There are some good design patterns around. I want to look at all the different people that are doing stuff out there to just sort of be able to sort of mix and match to have a bit more in my repertory. So that's a little bit of a self, what I would like to get out of this conference. Where are we going? I've got a real sort of a Kanban side of it, which I know has kind of had a bit of a hump there with, I really like looking into the be able to sort of deal with this, the flow part. How do you balance resource efficiency with flow efficiency? I think from a Scrum point of view, we often forget about that. What we throw into an iteration, we just sort of, we have blockers that come along. Okay, we'll just pull another thing in. To be able to actually look at, what sort of touch time we've got, some of these sort of Kanban lean sort of ideas of okay, how can we make it more, the flow efficiency, how can we alleviate the bottlenecks in a standard sort of lean stuff. I think I've always got time for that. And I think there's always a value in that. Awesome stuff. Thanks for that. Cool. We'll move on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shane.
All right, let's wander the corridors and see who we can
find another likely.
So obviously the keynote today, Henrik. We've also got Nick Muldoon from Twitter.
Yeah, Nick Muldoon is what I'm looking forward to. Henrik was just, I think, fantastic, insightful, and entertaining as well. You know, just captured the audience, so that seems pretty good.
Justin.
Yeah, how you going?
How you doing?
Good, mate.
So you rally.
I'm in Rally now, yep.
Justin Bansky from Rally.
Yep. So Tony and Craig from the Agile Revolution podcast.
Yep. So he's eating a sandwich. We're going to shove a microphone in his face anyway.
Done it to everyone else.
So how you joined the conference?
Yeah, good. Yeah, really good.
You're wearing an orange shirt that says Scrum Alliance Coach. What's that about?
So I'm actually helping out with the conference, and I'm running the coaches clinic, so I'm really trying to just sign up people to get some free coaching, which I think is really, really cool.
That's a great idea. I think that's fantastic. What's the key one for you so far that you've seen today?
In terms of the conference itself? Yeah. Probably Henrik Nyberg and just, I guess, you know, talking about what they're doing at Spotify. So for me, there wasn't anything new, but I think it was just reiterating some of that really cool stuff and some of that messaging that we need to take back to our teams.
I think the one for me I liked the most out of it was the minimum viable bureaucracy.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I'm going to take that away. That's in my kit bag.
There were so many tweets on that one. There was a lot of tweets on that one. That was good.
Yeah, it was very entertaining, wasn't he, and engaging.
Yeah, he was. No, he was really, really good.
What are you seeing on the coaching walls? Is there anything you just had a look at over there and you went, that's an interesting problem? Is there anything that's popping up?
We haven't really got the problems up there, unfortunately. It's really just the names. There's a couple of problems up there, but there's some great people up there, right? I even just put Nick Muldoon up there, so hopefully people are going to sign up to, you know, get some free coaching from him. And
you put me up there too,
I'll
mate.
Put you up there. Well, I had you up there for tomorrow, I think, so I haven't got tomorrow up there yet, so we'll get some feedback from today and do the whole inspection.
It's actually an interesting thing for those of the coaches who are listening to this. I did the coaching clinic here last year. I've done it in the US a couple of times. It's one of the most fun things I got to do because it's that whole, you got a 15-minute slot, right? And there's someone who kind of walks up to you with that confused look on their face, and you've got to, you want to give them value in 15 minutes, you know? It's a completely different way of looking at coaching. It's a real valuable exercise. Hey, last question, were you a rally? So, well, you know, what's interesting in the rally world right now? Because you guys are a big player in the, not in the tooling space, but in the coaching space, and building your presence in Australia. So, interesting things coming down the pipeline for rally at the moment?
Look, I think from a tooling perspective, I think they've made some really good decisions over the last 6 months in terms of where they want to go and rolling it up into the enterprise. So we've got the new milestones feature, and you know we're trying to redo the whole look and feel of the whole Rally ALM. But things are really good at the moment in terms of just the whole agile space in Australia. I think the whole just, you know, moving it into the scaling space. So we're all having heaps of fun actually at Rally. It's a really exciting time, I think, for all the tool providers actually. So yeah, just having a ball.
Great to hear.
Awesome. Yeah, well, once you get back, make sure no one's moving the wrong post and no on the wall, eh?
Cheers.
All right, I'm coming into Agile Revolution. Ben Hogan, Martin Frank. Come on in, Martin.
Hey, Craig. Hey, Tony.
How you going, mate?
Very well. Good to be here.
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
So you're involved with the, you're wearing an orange shirt as well.
I'm an official coach, as you can see here.
Right. What does that mean?
I think of you as very official.
Thank you. We've had a few customers coming up to us and looking for some advice on Scrum and.
Any good problems?
Well, one of the guys was worried about teams overcommitting, which is a common problem, and so we talked a bit about the idea that you might how would you get people to commit to less, and which means taking on less work. And we came up with an idea that maybe we could try to do some maths, like in a training course, to teach them about capacity and like divide by two, or like, okay, so I did 80 hours last sprint, I'm only going to plan 60 hours this sprint. And so I went away pretty happy with, you know, some new ideas there.
So basically taught him year three division. And
more talking about how would you get the team to buy into that sort of division, you know? Like, it's a simple idea, but hard in practice, because they were really used to overcommitting. It was like a cultural thing.
That's a key to it. Like, I mean, even this morning, Harvey was here and gave, you know, Scrum in 60 seconds, and you look at it and you go, yeah, that's it.
That's it.
You know, you know, the newbies that have just come into it, they do try to overcomplicate it. When the reality is we should just get them back to the simple stuff first, and that's the way to go.
That's great.
What about this fella over here?
Yeah, man, how you doing?
What are you doing?
Me, I'm here to learn, guys, as always. I'm here to, one of the things I'm trying to do is my visual facilitation or visual thinking skill set. So any session I go to, I'm just trying to conceptualize it in a visual format. And
so doing a Lynn Cazaly.
Yeah, she's my inspiration, so I have to.
Unfortunately, she's here as well, so you got a benchmark too.
Yeah, look, I can never meet her standards, right? But doing my best as I can. Yeah.
What about you, Benny? Can you draw?
Well, Lynn gave me her excellent one-day introduction to drawing. I still can't draw, but it doesn't matter, it turns out, because as long as you can make a picture that makes sense to you, it's great.
I did a half-day one, and I didn't learn how to draw either, so there you go.
Sounds like the biggest problem is trying to draw, Ross. You shouldn't try to draw.
So you've got CBA at the moment, so probably, you know, I'd probably argue one of Australia's biggest transformations and things. So any interesting things you're tackling at the moment?
Kind of a multiple teams is and the difference between them. So one very customer focused team and one, I guess, product focused team. The customer focused team that can deliver every 2 weeks, and the metrics they use and to try and experiment. And the other product team, which is kind of we'll have a big bang release and we want it all at a certain date. So it's just tackling those two, or actually learning from those two and trying to apply different learnings to both. Very interesting.
Somebody's trying to horn in, Craig. Can you hear him?
Hey!
Running in my ear again.
Oh, hello, Renee.
Can't keep her away. What's your stuff you're working on, Ben, like outside the conference? Any interesting problems you're tackling at the moment?
Yeah, I guess what's interesting is I was working in the IT department of a large uni, and that was going really well. They were using Scrum very effectively. And then their academic team, which is outside of IT, knocked on the door and said, hey, could we use Kanban and Agile in curriculum development? So this is an interesting example of how Scrum and Kanban are spreading outside of the IT sphere, and I'm seeing more and more of that. And they're putting up Kanbans, they're modeling non-technical work as we do in sort of Kanban and Scrum teams.
So they're modeling how to develop the curriculum, the list of tasks.
And what's interesting is that the initiation of the projects, they're using the same techniques we spoke about at the conference today, where in 1 week you can set up a team for success. So that's really good.
Look, I saw just walking past.
Well, yeah, we can't do a Vox Pop without Neil.
Neil, well.
Neil Killick, how you doing?
Hello, how you doing?
So anything new since the last time we spoke to you? You're at MYOB these days?
Yeah, I've been at MYOB for 3 weeks, portfolio manager there, so it's very exciting.
That's why we need to get you on the podcast every time as you change companies.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's going to get frequent flyer points the way he's going with the Agile Revolution.
I think you actually almost qualify now for most often on the podcast.
Absolutely.
You even beaten Tony, I think.
come on now, that's harsh.
So you're speaking. What are you speaking on the conference?
Myself and Craig are actually going to run a bit of a puzzle experiment game thing.
Estimates. Okay, so you can give us a lowdown, right? Because this is not going to go out before the end of the conference. So for those who are listening, just give us the brief overview about... Because no estimates is one of those things that's actually very hard sometimes to educate people about. So this is a way of doing it.
Well, I was actually very disappointed that you didn't mention it in your 40 methods in 40 minutes.
It was on the cutting room floor, unfortunately. It was the one that I laboured over the most to actually drop out. It was only just because there's not enough online information to back
enough.
It up.
No, fair enough. It's actually something I've been thinking about, is really how to take the conversation forward. You know, it's been going on for a couple of years now. And, you know, I think it's one of those arguments that's going in kind of a bit circular now. And so how can we take things forward? And I'm sort of having a think about that. And what are some techniques and principles of things that I apply in my work that you can kind of, you know, and start sort of dishing things out in a bit more of a sort of simple piecemeal way, rather than it being this broad conceptual conversation.
So Neil and I actually discussed an interesting technique earlier in the day we thought would actually get some controversy going and get some focus on it. We thought, instead of the no estimates tag, let's rock the world, and we'll just put Neil now this prescribes to lots of estimates and just see what everyone does then.
Exactly.
Well, no one would go, because it's like, I know how to do that.
Yeah, exactly. No, but things like, I guess, my slicing heuristic idea, which is really... I guess in a way it's a bit of a method. If I put a bit of structure around it and said, look, you know, this is a way of actually figuring out what are the types of work in your organization, and then actually measuring how long those things take, and actually systematically slicing things down. And, you know, we all talk about breaking work down into smaller chunks, and that's a good thing, but there's nothing really explicit in the way that's sort of promoted in Agile or Scrum. So that's potentially something that, you know, I might work on and put some more information out there about. I've got a couple of blog posts about it, and I talk about it in my talks, but there's nothing
and,
really.
And I waxed lyrical about it for about half an hour on the podcast recently. Yeah. But anyway, in fact, it's one of the best. I think I described it either in a blog post or Twitter or the podcast. I can't remember where. Basically, you just took everything that was in my head and put it down on a blog post. And it's if you haven't read it, go read it.
Yeah,
but I want to know about
there somewhere.
Yeah. I want to know about the game though. So just give us the crux. You're not giving away your secrets. This will go out after the conference.
Sure. So. I mean, so it's actually a game that's been run at several meetup groups around the world. But we're actually putting a bit of a different spin on it this time round. It's normally getting teams together to build jigsaw puzzles. And the premise is that there's three different types of team. One is a scrum team that has a product owner, a scrum master, and they have to estimate and do all the scrum ceremonies, etc. Another is more of a sort of Kanban continuous flow team that can kind of, they don't necessarily have to work in iterations and they sort of have a bit more flexibility around how they work. And then there's a sort of anarchy team, which can self-organize however they want and basically run things however they want. And we sort of look at the different team dynamics and what happens in some kind of exercise where, we're looking to build something of value. We're going to work in sort of time box iterations and see what comes out of that. And there's actually lots of interesting team dynamics that arise that isn't necessarily that much about estimation or not. It's actually the game has evolved in something more, I think, about how do we work as teams and in terms of the estimation stuff, how valuable were the estimations that we did and how did we use them? What decisions did we make based on those things, on those estimates? So. So hopefully it'll be fun, it'll be engaging, and there'll be lots of interesting team dynamics will come out of it.
I love these games where you use something different like puzzles and stuff. I'd love to know what the waterfall team would do there. Would they be sitting there trying to figure out how many things in the puzzle? And
they wouldn't have got to the puzzle because they'd still be putting the requirements.
They'd be designing the box. Yeah.
but the different spin on it actually is this time rather than doing jigsaw puzzles, we're actually going to get people to design puzzles and actually. Yeah, so we want to see the real sort of creative perspective come out. We're going to give people a problem to solve, and so we're going to get lots of different solutions rather than a jigsaw puzzle is kind of a pre-made solution. So we think this is going to make a bit more of an interesting dynamic.
Fantastic.
And it's also going to be interesting to see, whether teams, iterate or whether they just increment through their solutions and all these kind of dynamics will be interesting.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll have to get him on another podcast, see how I win.
frequent flyer points.
Well, we'll see what you got. Thanks for good to see you again.
No worries. Cheers.
All right, who else can we spot?
Oh, let's have a look around and see what we can find.
Jason, yep, Sanish.
How are you going?
How's your evolution?
Tony and Craig.
What's going on here?
Vox Pops. How's the conference going for you?
It's all right.
Highlight?
I was just talking to some people, a couple people for the coaching clinic. It's actually interesting just to work through other people's problems because they're not mine.
So, any interesting stuff that you work through? What was the problem? What did you learn?
I think there is the interesting thing is just kind of helping people understand that they are dealing with a kind of design situation, right? So, like the metaphor I used is there's a difference between like learning a language like Java and designing to solve a problem. And at some point you have to graduate past learning the syntax of language.
Yeah.
And sort of like that's where the interesting stuff shows up.
I always like the conversation that we have during the lunch or afterwards.
Well, this is a highlight for you right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Just talking to us, it'd have to be the highlight, right?
Yeah. And that's where I was enjoying the conversation even with Jason and all.
And we even let Renee join us sometimes.
Yeah.
So what's Jason been lying to you then?
Means a lot, talking about system thinking and stuff. Yeah, and means he's always a good guy to talk to. Excellent. And understand his insights and perspectives.
He's blushing a little now. So what interesting are you working on at the moment? What interesting things are you working on at the moment, Jason? I mean, doing some cool stuff in the retailing field that you were talking about, Agile Australia, for example.
Yes, I'm no longer working with that retailer, though. I'm actually... We did some stuff with Henrik, actually. So the current client is actually quite interested in the model that Spotify has, which is quite surprising, but it's quite interesting to see how you might adapt that to...
So that going in specifics, what sort of size organization are we talking about for that implementation?
Let's see, probably...
Because he's talking about 600 to 1,500.
Less than that, right? Actually, like that, 600 to... Like, so they have about 600 to 700 technical staff. That's actually larger than most places.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? Like, the only bigger ones is when you're talking, like, large telco, which I won't name. And AT&T. A large retailer, which I won't name. Okay? But everyone else is 600, 700 is pretty up there. So actually, from a scaling perspective, it's a nice example because people can't pull out the, yeah, but we're bigger, because they're not. Right. Even just the number of teams, 70 plus teams, is larger than most places by far. And they also have distribution, which I think he showed in the slide as well. So
yeah, I think that's actually, he didn't talk a lot about it, but I think that's actually the real key thing about that model is the fact it also works across a distributed distributed line. Cool. Awesome. Well, I'll let you guys back to your conversation. All right, thanks.
No, you can't go now. Craig.
I want to go to the toilet.
Yeah, you can do that afterwards, Craig.
We're more important.
Agile Revolution, how are you enjoying the conference?
It's really interesting so far. It's about to get more interesting.
Well, yeah, your puzzle game tomorrow is going to be the highlight, right?
No. Kernsey's talk.
So we're talking Mr. At Kernsey?
Yeah. That's right.
And why is that going to be interesting, Craig?
Because he's mad. And he's interesting.
Yeah, big shout out to Martin. I can't disagree with him.
Yeah.
So what interesting thing happened in your world? You run the meetup group in Melbourne. You run the last conference. There's lots of things you got your fingers in. But what are you working on at the moment? What's kind of exciting you and challenges you're facing?
On Monday next week in Melbourne, there's something called Dare Festival.
Looking forward to that. Yeah, it's good.
You going?
I would love to. Unfortunately, I'm in another state.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So Ed, who I run the last conference with, is doing that. And the other thing is we're thinking...
Jürgen, Management 3.0 coming out for that, and a bunch of other names. But it's interesting because that's about teams and enterprise setup, how the environment is more so than what we typically talk about at the conference, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's like that kind of that context that we operate in. So what's the big picture of the company and the kind of the landscape that we operate in. So that's the context.
That conference runs worldwide. Like, it's run in a lot of other cities.
It's a bit of a tour, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So we'll have to catch up with you and find out what the highlights are from said conference. And you've got, we're just talking to Neil, so we've got the lowdown on your game tomorrow on Teaching No Estimates.
He's given us all the secrets.
Did he tell you that we reinvented the game over a coffee this morning?
No, he didn't tell us that. But last responsible moment, we like it.
Yeah, we reimagined the whole thing over a coffee this morning.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good fun.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, we'll let you get to where you had to go.
You're very business. And we just
Venky, how you doing?
Krishnamurthy.
Yeah, excellent.
At Venky,
So you were just talking recent. I unfortunately missed your talk, but I saw it was a packed room. So congratulations on that.
Thank you, Craig. Yeah, it was a fantastic crowd, engaging.
Well, it was packed. I get Craig in what he in for you, mate. I gave him sugar. No, I'm joking. It was a packed room. It was well done.
So what are we talking about, Venky?
I spoke about how do you bring lean startup design thinking and Scrum together and then build great products. So most of the time, people are good at building solutions, but fundamentally, they have a wrong problem at hand. So we can do continuous delivery, continuous integration, unit testing, test automation, everything. But if you have a wrong idea, you're building wrong things faster and faster and faster. And that's where the design thinking...
Build crap faster, right?
Exactly. You end up building crap faster. And that's where I'm suggesting that we should apply the ideas of design thinking, where you fundamentally ask the question, right question at the front itself, rather than focusing too much on just the building part of it.
Excellent. And you're also one of the people behind the Who is Agile Australia and New Zealand book, which is, it's just gone through a few iterations just recently. So tell us about the experience of doing that.
Oh, it was a fantastic experience. The idea actually came from Yves in Europe. And finally, we wanted to do something for the community here in Australia and New Zealand. And the intention is to encourage and identify all the good agilists, people who are actually contributing to the community, and then expose it to the people around. And if anyone is interested to know what is happening in the agile world in this region, they don't need to hunt around. It's like a one-stop shop. They can look at it. Oh, Craig Smith, great. Craig Smith has done this, and this is how he's contributing. And here are the websites available. Here are the conferences that happens in Australia and New Zealand. So it's providing a rich set of information to all the readers. We have so many readers who are across the globe. The recruiters using it. Oh, we need a good agile coach. We want to see who is contributing. They say, let's go and get this book. Or someone wants to just know what kind of conference should we attend, what's actually the value I'm going to get. here is a design thinking community, here is an agile community in Melbourne or Canberra. It's all divided based on the regions as well. We are actually trying to revisit the prizes as well in our coming versions. We are actually, since it's all community driven, we want to, we are revisiting the pricing model as well, so that it can reach broader community and more people can utilize the value out of this book.
Fantastic. And I have to say, from my part, I was very humbled to be part of that. I thought it was a very fantastic experience. So thank you for that, Venky.
Tony, it's one of those books I know, even when I read the original one, I highlighted more of that book on things I had to follow up on. And
Yeah.
I mean, it was interesting to learn about the people and how people have very, very different backgrounds and how they landed in this community, but on the, also on the same token, the things that they're interested in. And as you look at the fabric of the community as a whole, either in the Australian book or in the worldwide book, you kind of realise that there's actually so many small facets that, you know, people have very narrow expertise sometimes, and there are some real experts on some of the problems that we face.
I think the book bit I liked out of the book the most, though, Venky, just for your feedback, is the actual personal bit. Because a lot of these people, you know, you see them as agile people, but to just see those little bits, fantastic. You know, just to get that little snapshot of the humanity of those particular people, fantastic.
Absolutely. If you actually look at the questions, specifically around thought process around agile, yes, you'll get diverse ideas. But as you said, the beauty lies in how people ended up in where they are right now. What is that influencing factor? And also the beauty, another the key question that I really like is, you know, we ask a question about, if you want to invite someone for a dinner, who is that person going to be? You'll get some interesting thought process, and you know how inspiring people are in trying to not just go and inviting people who are popular, but people value others, and they want to invite the other person whom they consider as a role models. It's really, really interesting to see the different types of role models each and every one of us have, and it also shows the values that we believe in. So we have a very beautiful community here in Australia and New Zealand with a rich value sets.
So what else is taking your interest? Like, you know, back at work, what are the interesting problems that you're dealing with right now?
I think fundamentally we have a large organization. When we are scaling, when we are scaling projects, we also have to look at the org structures. I strongly believe that org structures impact the culture of the organization, which in turn impacts the agile delivery. So many teams sometimes they end up just doing agile rather than being agile. And also there is a lot of misconception not only within the organization but even the, you know, in the agile community that agile is specifically for the development team. But the real agility lies beyond that, in actually bringing the HR, finance, and the business into the fold of agility, where they actually understand agile, and that's where the true agility lies. And I think we don't need to really sell this idea of agile to the development team. Pretty much 80%, they know Scrum, they can do unit testing, deployment and everything. And the problem doesn't lie there. The problem lies in where the requirements are coming up and what the business know about agile and what exactly the business value that business wants, not the developer wants. As you rightly said, Craig, if you have a garbage in, the development team will keep churning the garbage out every day. They can do a daily garbage out, daily garbage deployments, daily garbage delivery. So the agility should actually start going beyond the development team, and we should start actually focusing in HR, finance, bringing CIO, CEO, and they should drive it.
Excellent. Well, you should all go, and we'll put a link in the show notes. You should go and check out Venky's talk, or at least the slides from it, because they're well worth a look. And I know you've written on the topic recently as well. So thanks for taking the time, Venky.
Thank you, Venky.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Tony. Thanks for giving this opportunity to talk to you. And then
we'll continue wandering around.
Totally.
Pete Tansey, Agile Revolution. How are you doing? Good, Craig. You're also speaking with Nia from the RBA. How are you doing, Nia?
Hello, I'm good, thank you.
So, we're enjoying the conference, Pete?
Excellent. Just been to a great session by the Reserve Bank on a significant project that they've converted into an agile project.
So I know you weren't the speaker there, but can you tell us a little bit about, for people who weren't at the conference, what is the RBA journey?
Oh, I guess I was just talking to Pete about it, and I guess we've got a fantastic agile shop running there, and I guess we are at a point where we are trying to get our fundamentals right and keep it going and trying to build in some confidence into the teams and get buying from the other parts of the bank as well.
It's an interesting story because the Reserve Bank, if you think about button-up shirts and not wanting to change, that'll be pretty much near the top of your list, wouldn't it? And so to see that the Reserve Bank is going agile, it's for anybody else who says that's not for me, then hey, if the Reserve Bank can do it, anyone can do it.
Exactly. I think we could be in the Mythbusters session next time.
And I think the other thing that they emphasised was the change in culture was key to bringing about the successful change or the successful transformation.
You do a lot of work with government organisations in Wellington, Pete. So, what sort of things are you seeing in that in that space? Not the government, just being a very governmental town.
I think people have got to do more for less. So, what we're seeing is agile's being bandied as something that, hey, we'd like to get into this. There's a lot of lack of confidence or knowledge, and I think most of that comes from lack of perceived control at a management level. So, I think anything we can do that, good examples like the Reserve Bank here that we can put up as case studies like that to give them confidence that they can still have that control by actually trusting the teams. Yeah, so I think we've actually just got to get some success stories on the front page of some of these agile conferences and that sort of thing.
Well, that's what it's all about, sharing the stories, right?
The successes, yeah, as well as recognising that it is different and you all have setbacks. It's not a silver bullet. So I think any management team that's looking for that is dreaming.
So you deal with lots of, you particularly come into teams at the forefront, right, in the planning phase. That's where you do a lot of your work.
Yeah, I come in to help them get set up. So one of the challenges...
Probably the starter.
The starter, yeah. I've often got to get teams to the business case level and in some sort of agile way that they can then go on and do the agile development. So that's certainly the area that I'm specialising in these days.
And have you sort of noticed a change in the way you do it? Because I've noticed, like, we used to do these very big, things that we talk about often in concept phase, like charters and things, but you're finding that there's more lightweight techniques now that you're starting to utilise in that space?
Very, very much. In terms of one of the techniques is story mapping, we've found is very useful. As an early session, having done some basic visioning, just get people to tell you about what they do and capturing in that story map form. Very simple. We don't get down to stories, even though the technique says story maps. Put it in stickies, left to right across the board, natural chronological sequence. Just get people comfortable with expressing where they're at. If we talked about business analysis techniques, it's the mapping as is, but it's just a very simple technique. You can then get them to brainstorm where their pain is, where they see the gain. And these people work in the business. They actually know what they want. They just don't necessarily quite know how to get it. And so doing that in conjunction with the implementation team, bring some technical perspective to that, makes a huge difference. You get to the nub of it very quickly.
So this scrum gathering, you don't have a scrum gathering over in New Zealand in your native country, so what brings you across the pond to join here? You have an Agile New Zealand conference.
I think you come to conferences like this and you're just the sharing of ideas and you just meet people that are doing similar things to what you're doing, or they're doing it a slightly different way. I think it gives you reassurance that perhaps you are on the right track. You see large organisations, small organisations, people sharing their stories, and you go back. And all you've got to do is come to one of these conferences, go away with one good idea, and it's worth the time and it's worth the money. And I tell you what, you go away with lots of good ideas and you meet lots of good people.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate you making the trip across the pond, and good to speak to you both, Nia and Pete.
Thanks very much, Craig. Cheers.
Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Moving across here, just very quickly. Sorry, guys. I'm Kevin from CBA, Michael from Transport New South Wales. Can't keep up where you're always at. And John Smart, purveyor of everything BDD, I guess is probably the best way of putting it. How are you enjoying the conference, guys?
That's really good. Really good start. The Spotify chat was really good. I was a bit jealous. It's great to hear from somebody who's working in an organisation that is so geared towards that collaborative work practices. Whereas, I think in Australia we find that it's too few and far between, and it's the agilists, that are here at the conference, for instance, that are pushing the barrel all the time. It'd be great to work for a company where it's actually that part's done for you.
So what do you think is hard? I mean, you're in a government organisation. You know, what are the main things that would be stopping an organisation like yours from using something like the squadification model?
So bureaucratic inertia. So especially around perm staff, there's structural inertia around and those issues that you have to deal with. I'm fairly lucky because I have a fairly mature, agile team, but I'm finding it's actually the organisation itself stops that from happening. They still want sort of a long, drawn-out design up front, very risk-averse. And I think
they want to feel in control.
And yeah. I think, you know, for the parts of the business that we've already helped in an agile way, they now get it and it becomes a whole lot easier. But until you're actually going through the journey, it's a mind shift paradigm that I think is beyond most public servants.
And John, most recently, I guess the BDD in Action book's finally in the shelves. I've read chapter one. Congratulations on that.
Thanks. Yep, just came out in the last week or so, actually.
So, tell us a little bit about what was the impetus for that book. I mean, you've written sort of books in this space before, and obviously, you know, your open source project on that tool I can never pronounce.
Thucydides is the tool. Yeah,
I'm glad you said it, not me.
One day I'll change the name to something more pronounceable.
But I guess from reading the book, I guess it was kind of the book that BDD needed, because there's things like specification by example. There's a few ATDD books, but from what I've read so far, it's kind of bridged the gap, and I guess it's removed a lot of the FUD that probably exists behind that term.
What I wanted to do with BDD in Action is do an end-to-end version, an end-to-end picture of BDD from the requirements and collaboration aspect through the living documentation and down into the details of executable specifications at the unit testing level. So just showing that BDD is actually applicable at all levels of development. It's not just one level. It's not just an isolated tool or a specific practice. It's actually quite broad.
And you're speaking at the conference. You're running a workshop or something, I believe, tomorrow?
Yep. So tomorrow I'll be running a Three Amigos workshop where I'll be lazy. I'm going to get everyone to do some work for a change.
So you did the easiest presentations to prepare for, right? That's good. I've got an hour and a half. Everyone else do the work.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm going to get people to go through the whole Three Amigos process, but with different variations.
So those who are listening who don't know the Three Amigos process, can you quickly explain that?
So basically the Three Amigos process is the idea that to understand the requirement, you can't just do it in isolation. You've got to get together. So you bring together a BA, a developer, a tester. That's the Three Amigos. Sometimes you'll have a product owner as well. And you'll nut through the details and try and understand what the requirements are actually about and what needs to be done. And so in the workshop, we'll be going through a few variations on how to do Three Amigos and see, just get people to experience what Three Amigos is actually like and what sort of variations work or work well or don't work. And so, yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that most people don't understand about BDD. I think they get hung up on the tooling or the actual output of the automation and forget that, you know, one of the really important parts behind it is the initial discussion about, you know, what is done and what is the problem, and if you move through specification example, I guess also the, you know, what is the living documentation or the examples that we can get out of it.
When you do BDD properly, you find yourself making choices about what areas you want to investigate and discuss in more detail, what areas you find you already know, so you don't bother going to the details, that it would be a waste of time. So you can focus on the areas where you're going to actually have the most learning and the most shared understanding, and then go and automate them or get, you can focus your efforts where the automation is valuable. And that's a lot of people just try and automate everything from end to end, and getting bored because they're automating really basic stuff and forgetting about the valuable stuff or losing focus of the value. And so there are all those aspects of actually focusing on where the bang for your buck is really important.
Absolutely. Well, that's enough. Go read the book if you want to know more about it. Check that out, BDD in Action. Kevin from CBA, enjoying the conference so far?
Yeah, it's very, very good. Very, very good to meet some new people, learn about some new tooling, get to meet great people like John here. And it's really good to hear that other organisations have very similar struggles to what CBA have. So we're glad we're not alone, and we'll very, very good to meet other people that can help us out and sort of bounce some new ideas. Been good to meet the Atlassian guys as well. Been a few questions burning in the back of my mind. Got that off my chest now. So
why does Jira suck? Is that the?
No, I haven't asked them that yet because I don't think they'll give me a shirt for that.
Anyway, great. I'll let you guys get back to your huddle. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Craig.
Thanks. Thank you.